Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, right in the middle of things with the wealth reception discussion. We've had a couple of shows on this topic,
yep.
And we kind of left off last time on determining whether a trust or a will does a better job of leaving things properly to your heirs, and you want to continue the discussion.
Yeah, so really, wealth reception is the thought process of, is the next generation really ready to receive what is being handed to them? And it really takes a moment for us to view this wealth reception idea from not the creator's point of view, but from the beneficiary's point of view. And so wealth reception then needs to consider what is the vision and the goal of the creator. And so as a matter of fact, last week we talked a lot about that, which is my hope, my passion is that believers would go and seek after the heartbeat of God for their family. So instead of just simply creating a will or a trust because that's what we're supposed to do and we're just going to give everything to our kids because that's what everyone else does, my only passion and really pushback is, are we doing that because that's what our Heavenly Father has told us to do, or are we doing that because that's just what everyone else does, or that's because I don't want to ruffle feathers in the family, or I don't want one of my kids to feel bad, or any other excuse that we can find under the book? Well, the question is that the heartbeat of God? Because as believers, that should be our first priority, which is seeking after His desire, seeking after His passion, and then knowing from that viewpoint, what we are supposed to create. And so every plan should do two major things. Number one, it should protect the creator during their lifetime. So whoever creates this, you need proper power of attorneys, and we need to make sure that your finances are going to be used for your purposes during your lifetime. And really why that's so important is because I don't know if I'm going to have a health incident next week. And so is my plan ready to tell whoever is going to help me, both with my health and with my finances, what my desires are and how I'm supposed to be protected? So that's number one. I need to protect my clients to ensure their safety for the rest of their life. Then number two, when they do pass away, then we can transition our thought process and our mindset towards how do we protect the next generation? And that's really what we're talking about is wealth reception. How do we not just move money to the next generation, but then fulfill what God has placed upon the Creator's heart and make sure that that vision is going to be carried out? And so wealth reception starts at that place. A focus, number one, on the Creator and their desire, and I'm hoping and I'm pressing and I'm pushing believers to seek after the heartbeat of God concerning their estate plan. That is really what we are supposed to be driven towards, is what is our final act of stewardship. That needs to come from the voice of heaven, not just from us because that's what everyone else does. And so from there, we can focus on, is the next generation ready and fulfill that legacy, that final legacy gift?
Yeah, you've got some good scriptures that kind of back up the spiritual emphasis of what you're trying to get across here, too.
Yeah, definitely. So Proverbs 20:21, which is, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. So let's take just a quick moment and look at that scripture. So an inheritance that is received hastily at the beginning. That word beginning really means the oldest. So if you hearken back to kind of cultural norms at this time, most of everything was passed to the eldest son, so to be the caretaker and continue on the vision of the family, the patriarch. And so So that's what this is talking about, is that if money is hastily, is quickly given to the one who is going to have responsibility. So now we can put that scripture in today's terms, which is instead of giving it to one child who then takes care of the whole family, we give it to each child individually is the most common thing to do. So we can really almost eliminate that word, those words at the beginning, and we can look at it that says an inheritance that is quickly received by anyone. Okay, that the end thereof shall not be blessed. So that word blessed means to kneel and to bless God. See, whenever we see the word blessed, I think, at least my habit is that I think about God is blessing me. So I look at it from heaven's perspective coming to Paul Grant. But this one is actually reversed. This one is actually that money quickly received through an inheritance will not bless God. It will not be used for the purposes of the kingdom. And why not? Because oftentimes that generation is not ready to receive wealth, and they have not been trained and had the moment to shift their mindset to says, you're going to receive something more than what you've ever received before in many circumstances. And so therefore, are you ready to take this of what we are going to give you? And are you ready to kneel before your Creator and use it to bless the kingdom? So this scripture is very, very powerful from my perspective as an estate planner. Money quickly gotten, really by anybody, the end thereof will not be used for kingdom purposes. So there's one scripture, Proverbs 20:21. If you don't like it, I apologize. You can go talk to God. I'm just reading it. Of course, I'm pulling it apart
a bit
here.
Well, that's just a statement of the real world. I mean,
yes,
people
it is.
Who like get a lotto winnings or whatever,
yeah.
No matter how much it is, it's gone within a year or two.
Yeah, many lottery winners end up in bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. They spend their money because almost anything, whether it's inheritance or whether it's a lottery winning, something received hastily and out of the blue is typically going to be spent on whatever we want instead of having a strong financial plan. As a matter of fact, I didn't write that one down. It's a different Proverbs that says that an individual who is trying to get money quickly will not be blessed, but those who work diligently shall be blessed. And so the idea is that as we work, we get money little by little, and we're able to then have that relationship, and it's able to build in the hands of the worker versus just being dropped on you and then be given over to, unfortunately, a lot of our own desires. And you know, many of us may have already been there, which is someone gives us a little bit of money and by golly, it's gone in a heartbeat. And I can't even remember what I spent money on sometimes. I'm guilty of it. And so I think you're right. It is simply the way that most of us would respond. Now, many of us, specifically the older generation, that was taught to preserve, that was taught to make sure that you hold on to things because you don't know what the future is about. I see in many of my older clients that they've received an inheritance and they've actually held on to it. But is this generation, is my generation and younger, do they have the same mentality? And I would propose to you, no, not
right.
even close.
Right.
And so there's a disparity in how one generation has been raised from a different generation. And therefore, how we were raised influenced our perception of money. Is that majority of my generation, 50 and under, have very little set aside for retirement. We love to spend money. We are glad to spend your money. As a matter of fact, you can go ahead and write your kids checks, and I highly doubt that they're not going to be very glad to spend your money for you. So if that is true, then there is a disparity in the thought process and in the preparation that this scripture is speaking to, which is we are very ready to spend money. And we're not thinking about long-term generational planning, nor saving, nor making the sacrifice today to ensure that we don't use the credit card, or we don't go to our home equity loan, or we're not over in debt. We like our stuff today. And so therefore, I think even more so than in years gone past, that this scripture, Proverbs 20:21, may unfortunately be really a proverb for today's generation who is going to receive wealth. And then we can go to Proverbs 28:20, that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Okay, now that word actually means prosperity. And actually, I did write it down. I didn't think I did. So it was the next one. My eyes missed it. So a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And again, that word actually does mean prosperity. But he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. In other words, they shall not be made clean. They shall not be made righteous. They shall not use it for righteous purposes. Why? Because they're striving after the wrong thing. An individual who wants to be rich quick, they are wanting the money. They're not seeking after the relationship of the Father. And so therefore, one of my bigger questions is, what is the heartbeat of your own children? So assuming that you are going to leave things to your family, or if you don't have kids, to your nieces and nephews, or whomever you're going to leave things to, who are they at the core? Are they going to take what God has put into your hands to be a steward over? And are they going to have the heart that says, I'm after the money and I'm going to use it without wisdom? As a matter of fact, in Luke 20, there's a story about the farmers. Jesus was talking about how a vineyard owner turned it over to his farmers, and he sent a servant. As a matter of fact, he sent three servants there to see how, to check in and get a report. And the farmers killed the servants every time. And so the father says, certainly they will honor and respect my son. And so he sent his son. And here is the thought process of the world. So here's a mentality change. Now, I understand that this scripture was talking about heaven sending Christ and being the sacrifice, and the world not receiving him. But listen to the world's mentality, that they said, this is the vineyard owner's son. And they reasoned among themselves. So number one, where are your children getting their wisdom from? Are they reasoning amongst the world? Or are they receiving wisdom from godly individuals? So number one in this story, they reasoned among themselves that the inheritance could be theirs if they killed the son. So what did they do? They drug him out of the vineyard and they killed him. So they took him out of the place of God's divine protection, out of God's prosperity, out of God's area of where we were meant to be. And they took him out of the vineyard and they killed his only begotten son. That's the mentality of the world, which is, I just want more. I just want an inheritance. And by the way, I'll even take someone else's inheritance. You know how many lawsuits are started because of inheritances and because of estates not being divided? So I want to make sure that in our discussion today, we have a proper perspective of our children. And this is hard because we want to hope that our children are going to use everything we give them in a proper way. And I know I'm pushing some hot buttons here, and I apologize. But my heartbeat is that we set up our thought process with what God has given me. It is my responsibility to hand it off to the next generation with responsibility, with stewardship in mind. And that can happen when we look at the whole puzzle and really have God's perspective on an inheritance.
Interesting discussion, and we're talking about wealth reception. When we come back from the break, we're going to again talk about the differences between a will and a trust in accomplishing the best wealth reception. If people are intrigued, though, they want to find out more about your services, Paul, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, head over to legacyandfaith.com. That's our website. There's ways to communicate with us. There's past podcasts, and there's educational opportunities coming up. So please head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, looking at wealth reception and the proper way for wealth reception to take place. And Paul, again, discussing some of the spiritual principles behind this.
Yeah, and really the proper way is what has God told you is the proper way for you and your family. So I'm not dictating what the proper way is. When clients come in, they are in control of the ultimate desires and their ultimate plan. But my passion is to make sure that we, as believers, that we have gone to our Heavenly Father to say, "What is your heartbeat for my family?" And look, all of us are created uniquely, which means that we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. And Romans 12:4 says, "For we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same office." So what that is talking about is that we don't have the same skill set in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, we know that we're uniquely created, and actually finding where we fit in the body of Christ is oftentimes a lifelong venture to make sure that we're constantly assisting the body, making sure that we're finding our place in our local church, making sure we're finding our place by listening to the heartbeat of God, and then using the natural talents and gifts that He has created us with. And that is for purpose. That is for purpose to expand His kingdom and support the kingdom of God's purposes. But then verse 6 in Romans 12 goes on, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So again, Paul is stating that all of us have a different gifting set. And that word, according to the grace, it means divine influence. And so that of which has been placed upon us for working in the kingdom of God. So therefore, when we look at our kids, they're all different. It's the most common thing for people to say, "Well, I want to treat my kids equally." And my response is, "Well, why? You never have so far." I have two daughters. My first daughter, Rebecca, is a tender-hearted individual. If I disciplined her with a strong hand, I would have broke her spirit, and that would have been poor parenting on my part. Now, her sister, on the other hand, is a little more strong-willed. God bless this child. And so there is a little more of a heavy-handedness or an authoritative voice that I need to use with her so that she moves to the proper place. Now, as an adult, I don't use that anymore. My kids are 24 and 25. However, in raising them, I had to use wisdom to know how to raise each of my girls differently according to how they are created, so that as they are now adults, I hope by God's grace, I have set and instilled in them values. I have set and instilled in them a way and strength so that they can accomplish what God has for them. But I never treated them equally. One of my girls was a gymnast and cost me tons of money because it's so expensive to be a gymnast. If your grandchildren or if your children are going towards gymnastics
or skating,
I'm telling you, no, don't do it. Demonstrate that you actually love your children by not sending them into gymnastics. All right. That's just a side personal note. But I understand the thought process that raising children is different than giving them money. And specifically at the end of our life. But there may be an opportunity that the Holy Spirit would speak to you to say, I want you to treat my kingdom as a child. So if I have two girls, maybe the Father would speak to me to say, Paul, you have three children. You have Rebecca, you have Gabriella, and you have my kingdom. And so I want you to think about having my work be another child for you. Okay, that's fine. That could be a phenomenal opportunity to think about how am I generous at the end of my life and perpetuate the work of the kingdom of God that he has set up in motion in my life. Maybe his voice would say, I want you to give 50% of what I have given you to the kingdom, and I want you to split the other parts between the girls. Or maybe I want you to set aside money in your family that is specifically for missions and specifically for Bible college. So any child or grandchild that would have a passion to serve my kingdom can use that money. But the kids who don't wouldn't have access to that money. See, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. The right plan is the plan that God tells you to enact. It's not a plan that I have designed for you. As a matter of fact, my duty, my job is to listen to your heartbeat and then tell you what legal instrument to use and how do we accomplish that ultimate feat so that we can get to the right conclusion. And so here, Romans 12 is clearly communicating to us that all of us are different, and God has actually set in motion plans and giftings that are unique to each of us. So, therefore, my encouragement is still go back to the Father. And by the way, not all of our children have the same financial skill set. It doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them wrong. It doesn't make them evil. It just may mean that one child knows how to manage money very, very well. And that's actually a gifting that person has. And yet another person has no clue how to manage money. They don't know the first thing about investment, have no interest in it. And so how do we set up a plan that accommodates both of those kids for financial success? Well, that plan may need to look a little bit different towards the one who has the financial skill set because they went to business school and have their MBA, and they're in the finance community. They make money that's just their gifting. They trip over money, and it's just amazing at how some people are gifted to bring in wealth because their anointing is to make sure that it's used for the kingdom. That's beautiful. But another child may need a different plan to ensure that the money is going to be used long term for them because they don't have the same skill set. It doesn't mean they're wrong. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. It just simply means they're different because God has anointed us to accomplish different things. So we just need to look at each beneficiary and accomplish that. So can a will work as far as an estate planning tool? Well, sure, it could work, but only if it aligns with what the vision God gave you. So if it can't align with what the vision God gave you for your family, then we have to abandon the will and we have to move to a trust. And really, one of the bigger differences between a will and a trust is that a will simply writes a check. So the child who may not have as much financial capability, not because they're bad, but just because that's not their gifting, if they just simply got money, they wouldn't know what to do with it. So are they going to have a proper vision and are they going to manage it well in order for them to financially succeed? As a matter of fact, many clients need to prepare a plan that takes care of somebody long term. Make sure that they get money on a monthly basis because that beneficiary may not be able to manage assets, or because they've just never had money, or they have health issues, and we want to make sure that the government just doesn't come in and take the inheritance from somebody in order to keep them on Medicaid or other issues that may be going on in their life. This isn't an indictment on any child of being good or bad. This is simply, how do we prepare a plan that ensures that the vision God gives you is actually going to be carried out in the best interest of two major people? Number one, we want to make sure our family is taken care of. And so we want to make sure a plan is in their best interest. And number two, that the best interest of the kingdom is also fulfilled. This is possible. And we're going to have to get into it next show. But this is possible, that we can fulfill both of those attributes and have a beautiful, godly plan set up in place.
Okay, interesting discussion. The best way to have wealth reception work and be successful. Each person's financial ability can be accounted for in a proper way with a trust. And I guess we'll probably be talking about that more next time on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. People are intrigued about your approach to these subjects. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, educational opportunities coming up, and ways to communicate with us. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.